going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. I think emphasis on the happy as we broadcast live from Flowery Branch, the Falcons facility, the Ticketmaster studios. We're 25 minutes from right now. Terry Fontenot is going to sit down with us, and we'll chat with him about last night's first round, where the Falcons took not one but two pass rushers from the SEC. One of them even played his college football at the University of Georgia.
Yeah, man.
Like, all these things that we thought could never happen happened last night, and obviously we've been talking about it all day. We'll get to as much more of the analysis as we can this hour. And again, like we said, Terry Fontenot going to join us at 1:30. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a minute. Probably not going to have a ton of time for an AMA today just right. because things are going to be moved around a little bit with Terry sitting down at 1:30. I assume we're going to get to talk to him for 15 minutes or so.
Yeah,
so
we'll
kind of play it by ear at the end of the show, but yeah.
Right. But yeah, it's an exciting day up here, Flower Branch. The young men, the new Falcons, will be introduced to the media later on today, and both of them will be on Dukes and Bell. I think Carl tweet in the 4 o'clock hour.
In the 4 o'clock hour, yeah.
So I think they'll be get an opportunity to sit down and talk with them. And you know, it's fun, obviously, because we've seen these guys play. We know these guys. We know Jalen, hometown kid, obviously went to Georgia, and James Pierce, hell of a football player in the SEC. So yeah, I'm very excited because, and this is just my thinking of the whole thing. They got two alphas, they got two ass whoopers, they got two immediate impact players at positions of need, and you got a chess piece in Jalen that you could put him anywhere. And so when you got that kind of thing, and then you think about, because they don't have bums here. You know what I mean? A lot of people think, well, no, they got some good football players here. Now, they got to play better collectively together. But when you add these two guys, and the first thing I mentioned, one of the first things today, because when we got here, they were doing, you know, off-season conditioning and all those different things. So the guys with the black shirts out there, those are the veterans.
Right.
You know what some of those veterans are? Outside linebackers, defensive ends, and linebackers.
Yeah, pass rushers.
Yeah. You know, when they came here this morning, let me throw another plate on that thing. Clank! Let me go. No. 10 reps? No, I'm going to do 11 because that just brings everything up. It brings up the competition level because you know what? Like you said earlier, I'm a defensive end.
Yeah.
I played a lot last year.
I was on the team yesterday.
Yes.
They weren't.
Yes.
Now they're on the team.
Exactly.
Where's my snaps?
You know what I mean?
I have to find a way to get on the field. Yeah. It should elevate the level of it. And like you said, the guys that were on the defense weren't bums. Some of the guys might have been being asked to do a bit more than you would want them to be asked to do.
Exactly.
And now, if Jalen Walker's in there and he's playing X amount of snaps and he's getting home X amount of times per year and James Pierce is out on the edge and he's getting to the quarterback, they're making everyone else's lives easier by letting those guys be in the roles that they're probably more suited to be in, right?
Yes.
Like maybe you're not supposed to be the main edge rusher. Maybe you're more of a situational guy. Maybe you're more of a rotational guy. Now you have better guys in that rotation. Everybody kind of falls into place a little bit better. Let me ask you something really quickly about what you just said about the chess piece. Does that make it harder for a rookie to sort of adapt himself
yes.
to the next level? Okay.
So, well, I take it back. It can.
Yeah.
It can. Because I think the one thing that you don't ever want to do to a rookie player is put more on them than they can handle. You want them to be able to play fast, you know, and not have them out there thinking and everything like that. And when and Chespies, I could just mean that he can play on the end line or something like that. But that's the ultimate thing you don't want to do early on with rookies unless they can pick it up. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to pick up offenses really fast. So it was no limitations on anything. But then there was a guy, I've had teammates where they had to slow down the process for them and just give them what they do well right now, and then we'll add on as they get better and better. So it'd be something to see. It'd be something to see. Now, Georgia has one of the more complex defenses in America. They have more checks than anybody I've ever seen. And it's like, damn, will y'all just get lined up? You know, so, I mean, Georgia has a very sophisticated defense, and he's going to be asked – he's going to be more freer here than Georgia. Remember when we had – who did we had? I think we had Emory Hunt on. Remember what Emory said about Georgia players is don't look at their stats
right.
a lot of times because they're asked to do a specific thing in his defense? Well, he was. Now, no, this is the league. It's free reign.
Well, and that was one of the things with him last year at Georgia that could be frustrating at times was like, yeah, you're asking him to do a lot of different stuff, and he can – the thing he does best, at least in my eye, was
go get the quarterback. Yes.
So maybe let him do that a little more.
Right.
Now, again, I know you need him to do all the other
stuff, and you're helping
other people out and all that kind of stuff. But every once in a while, it's okay just to be like, all right, Jalen's just going to get the quarterback today or this quarter or whatever, this drive. And they asked him to do so many things. Is that the thing that you feel like he does best?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's great to see. All right, let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
With the 15th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Jalen Walker, defensive end, Georgia. The Los Angeles Rams have traded the 26th pick to the Atlanta Falcons. With the 26th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select James Pierce Jr., defensive end, Tennessee.
It's so crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm still soaking in the reality of
The
fact that that actually happened last night. Because, again, like 24 hours ago when we were – and it wasn't this segment, but it was the next one where we kind of gave our hopes and predictions for the night, you know, both of us mentioned, okay, pie in the sky, one of the Georgia guys falls to 15. That'd be great. Didn't expect it to happen. If not, you said James Pierce's name. Like, hey, there's a really talented guy that'll probably be there at 15. Go ahead and get him.
Right.
Go ahead and take him. The fact that they were able to accomplish both of those things really is remarkable.
Yes.
Like, it's really special that that's the thing that happened last night. Now, again, they've got to come in and produce, and 5 years from now, we might be looking back on last night as, oh, man, well, not what you hoped it would be.
Yeah.
But there's also a flip side of that where last night you changed your whole trajectory in the pass rush, and – without knowing, I'm going to go with that.
Well, Terry did everything in his power to make it that.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you go out there and you double down, and you double down right now. This ain't no, you know, a futures pick. I mean, obviously you had to give up your futures pick, but you're banking on the fact that you got a good quarterback, you got a lot of young players, young weapons, and you should be able – and you're in this division – you're in this division.
Yeah.
I know we said this a lot last year.
No. And the year before.
And the year before. But you're in this division, which is winnable. I think the Saints are going to be god-awful this year.
I think
the Panthers are going to be better. I don't know what to make of Tampa, but the Falcons always find a way to open the damn door for Tampa.
What about Tampa?
Always open the damn door for
Tampa. What about Tampa taking another receiver? They take Emeka Ebuka at 19.
Which is
they took a receiver last year out of Washington, and obviously they still have.
That's right, they did.
They still have Godwin, who is coming off of an injury,
yes.
and Evans, who's obviously older. But I mean, that's a lot of receivers there in Tampa.
I mean, they're trying to keep Baker, you know, get him as much help as possible. But yeah, I mean, when you look at this team and you're thinking about going to get another impact player, who, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion, is a top 10 talent in this draft, talking about James Pierce Jr.
Yeah.
And you can get him right there, yet you got to just get, you got to give up your two this year and then one next year. All right.
Here's another thing about that we talked about throughout this process and yesterday as well, was the hope that there wouldn't be any sort of, you know, restrictions placed on Terry Fontenot going into this draft. You never in a million years thought that they would be, but you didn't know.
Right.
I think this clearly signifies that there weren't.
Yes.
You're not saying, no, you're not giving up next year's first. You know, I might not even be here to make next year's
right,
first. Terry
right.
had full autonomy to do whatever he wanted, as he should.
Like, right, he's a general manager.
He's a general manager. He's the man in charge of making these picks. He shouldn't have any restrictions placed on him if he's still in the job. And Arthur Blank would tell you that he didn't. And obviously, I think you saw last night that he didn't, to give up today's second-round draft pick and next year's first-round draft pick to get back into the first round last night. To take a guy that obviously talent-wise, anybody who's watched him play can say pretty clearly has it, but was there at 26 because of, quote, character issues,
right?
Like, from a talent perspective, that guy goes in the top 15. Some of the concerns were about, you know, maturity or about coachability or whatever, and I think the fact that the Falcons were willing to take him,
as you know,
says a lot about how they feel about their culture, and specifically Raheem Morris.
But yeah, and you talked about it. I heard the story. You broke it more down to me. Like, they did a lot of research on him.
Yes, they
sat
did.
Down. Very rarely do you hear them talking to somebody, mama, too. You know, unless it's like because these players are so young, you treat it like a college recruiting trip.
Like, they sat down with two of them on Wednesday.
Yes.
Like, not last Wednesday, like 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They sat down with him because they wanted to get a feel for him. We talked, and it's going to be using nods of the character issues. It's different severities of character issues.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And that everyone sort of uses that blanket term to talk about, like, what Mike Green was accused of in his college career is not the same thing as. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot is going to step in here to the Ticketmaster studios any minute as, they make their prep for today.
Yeah.
They've got a pick today in the third round, so obviously he's still busy, and they've got the introductory press conferences for the two picks from last night. Draft coverage does continue here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all the way through the final pick on Saturday at 6 p.m. Don't forget, we have pick-by-pick coverage for the second and third rounds tonight at 6 o'clock, followed by a late-night wrap-up show. We'll take your calls, so phone lines will be open tonight for your reaction, all brought to you by your local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. The NFL draft continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's so many good players still here.
Yeah.
There really are many really good players that are going to be drafted today early. I know the main one everybody talked about is Shadur. I'm pretty sure Shadur will be drafted early today. And there'll be a couple other guys. Hopefully, you know, when the Falcons are back on the clock, there's a good player, like a center or something right there. I want.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The dog. There's a couple good guys I was looking at. You got Drew Kendall. center out of Boston College,
yep.
who more likely might be there if you need a guy in the third round. I think they got to get a center.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, they got to get
so
a center.
I know Jared,
and obviously Jared
Wilson,
yeah,
the Georgia Bulldog. But
I don't know
based on
that.
What you hear, yeah, and you know, Rusty was telling us that he's hearing that there's a lot of buzz, second round buzz about Jared Wilson. Seth McLaughlin's a really good player.
He's a good player.
The Ohio State center had
yes.
been at Alabama. He's from Buford, so he's
yeah.
a local kid too. He was injured last year, so he probably would have gone. Probably wouldn't have gone yesterday. But probably would go higher than he will go. Wouldn't be surprised if he's there in the third round.
Look out for a couple corners that can be going on. Trey Amos, the quarterback from Ole Miss, is
okay.
there.
Yeah.
The guy that I saw Nick Coach say, because I did see the one when it was on ESPN, the game day, and he was talking about Siobhan Revelle, the kid out of
East Carolina. Yeah.
He got banged up and everything, but he's a good, solid player that's probably going to go today. Obviously, the pass rusher from Ohio State still out there. We already talked about Mike Green.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still some really, really good players that are still there for the taking.
Yeah, there really are.
BC's defensive end.
Yeah.
So, there's still a lot of good players out there.
Well, it's just, you know, a lot of guys that we spent time talking about, not knowing exactly where the Falcons would go at 15.
Right.
Whether it was Will Johnson, the corner for Michigan, who, because of injury concerns and his inability to work out throughout this process, didn't get drafted yesterday. He'll go today, but he's still out there. Mike Green, you just mentioned, a guy we spent a ton of time talking
yes.
about. A lot of people thought that would be the Falcons' pick at 15. Didn't
right.
get taken yesterday.
Right.
Nick Emmanwori, the guy who blew the doors off the combine, the safety from South Carolina,
yes, he did.
Didn't get drafted yesterday. Donovan Ezeraku, the Boston College edge you just mentioned. We talked with our guy Greg Cosell about him
yeah.
last Friday, and he raved about him. So, and then you kind of go down a little bit further. Obviously, Shadur, the quarterback, didn't get taken yesterday. Travion Henderson, the running
yeah.
back from Ohio State.
Both running backs from Ohio State.
Right, yeah, Quinshon too.
Jim Harbaugh will run that lot of football. He got 6'2", 235-pound tailbacks.
Dude, I love
– Justin Herbert's going to average 13 passes a game.
Which is crazy because Justin Herbert's a good quarterback and they paid him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then last year when he had to throw it, he threw 4 interceptions
yeah.
in the playoff game.
Oh, you remember
so
that?
That's
yeah.
not great.
Yeah,
I love Amari Hampton anyway.
There he is. Look at that smile.
There's Terry Fontenot.
Look at that smile, though. I was like,
I traded back into the first round and got the edge rusher we wanted. Smile.
We
welcome the Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot to the show, as we traditionally do on the Friday after the first round, live from Flowery
yeah.
Branch. Terry, how are you?
Good, man. I'm excited to add some more good players in the next couple days.
People are excited
yes.
as well.
Yeah.
The fans are excited as well.
He did it.
He did it.
Yeah, he did it.
If you can't put on the tape and watch Jaylen Walker and Pierce, if you put on that tape and watch them play and you don't get excited, you don't like football.
Right.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And any game, put it on, even you go back to their high school tape, put on a game and see the way those dudes play with their hair on fire and fly around and get after the quarterback. If you can't get excited about that, then you just don't like football.
Let me ask you this, because I don't want to say surprised, because you can't afford to be surprised.
Yeah.
You're prepared for all of it. But at what point pre-15 – did you start to think Jaylen Walker might be there for you guys?
Yeah, good question. And because, you know, those first, call it 7 picks, they came off like chalk, exactly what everybody expected. And it was kind of unique. And that was the first time where when you get in that 8, 9, 10, where it's kind of started going off and these offensive linemen start going and a receiver and kind of. And so we said, you know what, there may be some defensive players down there that we don't expect, because we always work off worst case scenario. And that's how we always have to work. So as opposed to saying it's a surprise, I say we're excited he was there. And because now you get to that point and there's some really good defensive players that we're staring at. So we're really excited that he was there.
What took so long, Terry? Because we were sitting there. We were all sitting there like, okay. Okay, he's there. Because I promise you, when tight end goes 14 and we're all like, oh, yeah, like, he's there.
He's
look,
there.
We got a brand new draft. Have y'all been in the draft room?
Of course not.
No. Okay, we'll take y'all up there.
Here we go.
We'll make sure, Dave. Seriously, we'll take y'all in there. Maybe after the draft.
But
maybe
seriously,
the last day.
Obviously, you're the player. But was there something else going on?
No, that's
what
I was about to tell you.
Okay.
We got this brand new draft room,
uh-huh.
and we're taking advantage of all that airtime. You don't want to waste it and turn the pick in too
uh-huh.
early, and you can't get the pictures and all that good stuff. But look, we go through our process, and we continue to talk to people, and we talk to. We're on the phones, and you got to go through that process. But man, we're excited to do it, and we're excited to make that pick.
What does that time feel like to you? Because I'll tell you what it felt like for us. It felt like it took forever. Like when they made the pick at 14 and the Falcons are on the clock and we know Jalen Walker is there and you understand all the, you know, the ties and all of that kind of stuff. That 10 minutes took 10 years. How long did it take for you?
Well, it does. It feels like forever. But you've gone through so much. You've gone through these guys. You've been through these guys ad nauseum. We've had so many conversations about them and about – so it does seem like a long time kind of when you're going right there, but it's an excitement. You know, I wouldn't say it's a nervousness or anything like that. It's an excitement about that. But you still got to be professional and go through the process and all that stuff. And but we were excited to turn that card in.
Could you tell us about the process with James Pierce Jr. leading up to the draft?
Yeah.
Because we were talking yesterday before the show, and obviously we give like, well – at 15, he picked a player, I picked a player. He picked a Georgia player, I picked James Pierce at the 15th spot. And then all of a sudden, you take Jalen. And then what is your process of going back to get him?
Because so, Sadie, and you picked James?
Yes, I said James at 15.
Got it.
Yeah. And
got
so
it.
I was curious about the week leading up to picking him. Would he
– yeah.
If Jalen wasn't there, would he have been the pick there?
Yeah.
And then once you do take Jalen, how did you think about getting back in to get James?
Good question. And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier. You look at kind of worst case scenario and you work through that. So that's a really good scenario that they're both there. And then so you look at it and really in your mind, you want to get both players, you know. And so, okay, but we're going to take Jalen right here. But then how are we going to get back in here to get James Pierce? And we had already had a lot of conversations leading up to it with the teams below. And we knew some teams later in the lower 20s might want to trade out. But then we got really aggressive. We got on those phones and we said, let's figure out a way to get back in here and get him. And that was a dream scenario to get both those players.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining us here live in Flowery Branch after the first round last night where the team took two players, a third round draft pick tonight as well. As it stands right now, who knows?
Yeah. Yep.
Terry Fontenot more aggressive than we realized leading into this draft. You told us that earlier this week. You had the chart and you ranked where you ranked and we found out last night. Let me ask you this because, I mean, look, pass rush has been a need for this team for a while. What was the biggest influence for you guys that led to addressing it at the level that you addressed it last night?
Yeah, well, if you don't know if you're going to have that opportunity to do that, but you can never have too many pass rushers. And if you hear our defensive coaches and Jeff Ulbrich talk about what we're going to do here and the way we're going to rotate and you want guys out there emptying the tank, so guys aren't going to be playing – 100% of the snaps or 80% of the snaps, we want to rotate guys in. And so we want guys coming off the bench fresh and just hunting the quarterback. And so as many of those guys as you can get, you can't have too many pass rushers, whether we're talking about edge guys, interior guys, and to have guys that are different flavors like that, with Jalen being a guy that can move around and do so many different things. And then, again, Pierce coming off the edge with the violence and the way he does and that edge speed. So there are different types of flavors, and you add them in with the guys we have, and we're just rotating. So you can't have too many of those guys. And, look, we'll see where we are in the third round and what's there. Usually at that position, these pressure players, particularly defensive ends and edge, they come off early, and you're not getting them in those other rounds. Like in the third and fourth round, you can hit on some other positions, but just looking at the hit rate overall, those pressure players, particularly edge guys, you got to get them early, and so that's why we're aggressive.
I had a question because we were talking, and curious, when you draft a player and he does not play that year, hurt or whatever, we're talking about Blake Trice, do you view him as maybe a third-round pick this year also?
Yeah, that's a great question because we have a lot of guys like that, whether we're talking about Braylon Trice, even guys like that didn't play as much as we thought they could, like a JD or Rook, you know, Brandon Dorless, a lot of those guys that had some little injuries and knickknacks, those guys are developing really well. So we're excited about them moving forward. Guys develop at different levels,
yes.
You know, and there's just different situations. Some guys it pops in year two, some guys year three, some guys right away. They develop at different levels, but we're excited about all those guys.
How do you weigh the cost of getting back into the first round last night? Obviously giving up the second tonight, first rounder next year. I mean, clearly James Pierce is a guy that you guys value highly, but when you're in the process of making that decision to do that, like what are some of the factors that play into making that choice?
Yeah, good question. And really, if you look at it in a nutshell, what we did is we used next year's first-round pick this year, right? So we use next year's first-round pick this year, and we move from the second to the third. That's what we really paid. So what it comes down to is, how do you feel about the player? Who's the player? If we do that for a player that doesn't pan out to what we expect, it was a bad trade. But the conviction that we had on James Pierce and what he's going to be for us, it's not even close. And essentially, like I said, we're just picking a first pick this year. And so the conviction that we had, then we're really excited about doing it. And that's how we're going to judge. We're not going to judge the trade based off of points and who on this chart or that chart. We're not judging off that. We're judging off who he becomes. Right. So if he becomes a really good pass rusher for us, the, who we believe that he's going to become, then it was a hell of a trade.
Was defense a mandatory thing? Because we go back all the way to the combine. Like, the whole defensive staff was up there. Some people were like, well, maybe they're selling wolf tickets or something. It was just seemed like – because like Andy was saying, we always ask for pass rush. And it was a receiver, which is trying to be a great pick. A running back, this, offensive lineman. But now you went – was it like one of those things when you started – when you were going to the combine – right after the Senior Bowl or whatever, did you sit up there and talk to your staff and then talk to Ra, have the conversation with Ra, we need as many good defensive players, impactful, as we can right now?
Yeah, Randy, that was a little bit overblown. We did have some offensive coaches there too. You know, it kind of got reported and it just kind of took off,
right?
You know? But
what are you saying? We sensationalize things sometimes? All right.
But honestly, we looked at it like we got to get impact players. And so we weren't going to – if just another defensive end that we didn't have that level of belief in, we weren't just going to take any defensive end or any pressure players. But those particular players truly were the top guys on our board in terms of the impact that they can have for us. You know, so we do have to stay disciplined in that way and bring in impact players and not reach. And so if a lot more defensive players went off than we expected and we didn't really feel good about what was there and couldn't trade out, we got to take the best player on the board.
Right.
And that might not have been a defensive player. That's just the truth. Now, it worked out exactly how we wanted to, so we're excited.
We've talked about the phrase character issues today. I think it's an unfair phrase because it's so broad and it can apply to so many different things. But it's a phrase that people have used when talking about James Pierce.
Yep.
As you're getting ready to draft someone and obviously looking into everything they are on the field and off the field, how important is it what you're bringing them into, what your organization is, and how much of a difference can that make in terms of your comfortability with a guy?
Yeah, great point. And you know, character issues, when sometimes things will get reported, and the tough thing is people don't always know the amount of intel that we know,
right?
What we know. There are some players that have serious character concerns that no one knows about. There's the same thing with medical. Some guys have bad medical stuff people don't even know about. Same thing with character. So we have a really good scouting staff that gathers all the information. They do a really good job, and they really pound the pavement in that way. And then we are extremely thorough with how much time we spend with the players, the people that surround the players. So we make sure we know exactly what we're bringing to this building. But to your point, that is important to know your building, your culture, your coaches, who's going to be coaching the players. Okay, Jock. Okay, is Jock the right fit? Okay, what's our player engagement, and how do they help? Because we believe it's our job to not only maximize players on the football field, but also off the football field. Let's make them better men. Let's help them grow and mature. That's all of our jobs in here. We're all resources for the players, and so we want to make sure that we have the right culture to help all of our players grow and mature. So, but we spend as much time as we can gathering all the intel to know if that's a right fit for us or not. We want guys that are passionate and love ball, and they love playing ball, and they love to compete. And then if there's some things that we need to help them with, then we're going to help them with. But the things that are non-negotiable, you better love ball and love to go out there and compete and be about winning championships. And we believe the players we brought in yesterday are.
Traded a pick for James Pierce. Or is there any more in the dealings as far as trades, specifically a player that's on the team or somebody that, you know, you know, is that – I know you're not going to tell it. Terry, we interviewed you too many times to know that you ain't going to give it.
No, I got where you're going.
But is there
look.
What's going on with Kirk, all right? Where's Kirk at right now?
And look, basically, just like we've said the entire time, that if the right thing comes around and if there's an offer for any player on our roster that makes sense, then we're going to do it. But it's going to be about this football team, this organization, doing everything we can do to help this organization be better. And so we're always open to all those things. We communicate with the other 31 teams constantly and work through things. I'm sorry, guys. I got my phone on.
Who is that?
I'll
show it to you.
Look and see what the notification says.
You see who that is? Don't say it out loud.
I won't.
You know who that is?
I do.
You know what team he's from?
I do.
Okay, yeah. Don't say it out loud.
I won't. All right. Thank you for showing me that. Look at that.
And that was off the record, so when I leave, don't start talking about it.
I'm not even going to tell Randy about that.
Hold on, man.
It was his wife.
Oh.
It wasn't. It was the GM, no, but he's not going to share it.
It wasn't. We saw Jeff Ulbricht almost tackle you last night on television in that room you were talking about. Maybe he's the answer to this. Maybe he's not. Who was the happiest person on staff last night after the first round was over?
Man, everybody. That's the cool thing about both of these players that we brought in, because we do have a lot of layers of information. We have our scouts and everything they go through. We have our coaching staff. We have our analytics department. We have really our player performance, everyone in the building. They all spend so much time going through this process, and I'll say that everybody was excited. Everybody. 1,000%, because it's not always like that, and that's just the truth. It's not always like that, because we're not trying to build consensus and just have groupthink and bring – no, we're trying to get all the information and make the right decision for the Atlanta Falcons. But in this case, with both these players, I would say everybody was excited. And yeah, Brick was – he even sent me a text at like 2 in the morning. He was going to sleep and about how excited he was. That's probably why I couldn't sleep, because I keep getting these texts. So, but yeah, I would say the entire building's pumped up right now. And look, we got more work to do.
Right.
We got the third round pick today, and then tomorrow we got a couple picks, and then that eighth round is real. After the draft, there's going to be a lot of good players, and we got to be aggressive, and we got to make sure we bring in some good players, because every year you look at undrafted free agency, and there's going to be some good players that come out of it.
Yeah.
And so we got to make sure we find those guys and get them to Atlanta.
Did you send a jet for Jalen? Because I saw the phone call. Did y'all send a jet, a chopper, or something down the south there?
We did. We put them both on. Actually, they land here in a little bit.
Okay.
But we were able to put them both on there in Charlotte.
We appreciate it, as always.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate y'all.
That's Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot there after the first round concluded last night. Back to business today with the second and the third. They've only got the one pick in the third round as it stands right now. But who knows? Anything can happen, as we saw late in the first round last night. We'll take another quick break. We'll come back and wrap things up here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Very eerie. What is?
I was like, "What the hell's going on?"
I don't know. It's a weird, weird vibe. There it is. All right, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Bo, are you okay?
Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Final few minutes for us on a Happy Hour Friday. Final hour brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Normally we do the AMA right now, but didn't really have a ton of time in the final segment, so we're just going to give some final thoughts on last night and tomorrow and the weekend and all that. Now, the AMA is brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org, and we will, of course, get back to doing that next week. But thanks again to Terry Fontenot for hanging out with us the day after the first round, as he often does. And, a lot to be happy about.
Yeah, man. A lot of
smiles. Different vibe than last year.
That's what we talked about earlier. You remember last time? It's just eerie because we didn't know we didn't get to speak to anybody.
Yeah.
And then, you're like, okay, you took a first-round quarterback that's not going to play, uh-huh. even though you just gave this quarterback all his money to be the starting quarterback, and this guy's not 20 years old. He's 24 years old, so it's going to be 26. Like, it was so many different questions and everything as far as, the process of what went down. Thankfully, that process did go down because you have your quarterback.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah, you got, that's you, the thing, you, like, yeah.
we react to these drafts like in instantaneous time, which I get. I understand that.
Right.
But as Terry always, you know, always is talking about is, and he said it when we talked to him just a few minutes ago, you know, it's for the future. You're always thinking down the road multiple years. And I liked his explanation of trading back in to get James Pierce at the end. He's like, well, really, we just used next year's first round on this guy who we value as that type of pick.
What have you got to tell yourself?
Yeah, but it kind of is, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times, and I think this is what the caller was trying to say earlier in the show, was
Xavier.
Had they had they made the trade before they made the 15th pick, normally you're kind of just pick swapping for this year's pick. They had already made this year's pick.
Right.
So then they use next year's pick to get back in. I don't know. If it works out, then we're going to be throwing
him. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
If it isn't, then you spent too many picks on him and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's always revisionist history, but and who knows? Who knows how it's going to work out? I mean, they took two players that are very, very good players.
Yes.
At a position of vital need.
And they're good. Like I think, you know, and we talk about it a lot, is the violence in what both of these dudes play with. They play, they're violent football players on the field. And so when you add that to the versatility of Jalen and then the relentless, because that's the thing about James Pierce Jr., he's a relentless pass rusher, Bonk. He both of them are relentless. You saw a couple of those sacks that Jalen had. It was just, I'm coming, I'm coming.
Yeah.
You saw Pierce's athleticism. I think it was a scramble by Milrow. And we know how athletic he is. Hopefully he goes tonight also too. But you saw how he was able to get him down in the open field and things like that. So, I mean, you went out and you added two pieces, and that was one thing when we were talking about the priority of – that's why I asked him about the priority, talking about the combine and everything like that. I don't ever want to say mandate, because it seems like somebody's coming, you got to go do this. That's not what Mr. Blank probably did, but it's one of those things where, hey, we know where we are weak. And if this quarterback – because you always got to think about the whole team concept, a lot of things, Bunk. If this quarterback is who we think he is, and what we've seen what he can do in the little sample sizes that he did, if we can get these guys – middle of the pack, and I don't think they're going to be there. I think they should be better than middle of the pack. But if we say for instance, we can get them right there. With the way this offense and this quarterback can go, we got something.
Yeah, we can win.
We got something.
We can make the playoffs this year.
Yes, we got something.
And we're young and we're building.
We got something. Yes.
Exactly right. Now, that is why I asked him that question about, like, I mean, they were right to do what they did this offseason thus far as prioritizing the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line specifically with the free agent acquisitions and then the draft last night. But this also isn't the first offseason where that could have been the philosophy, right? I mean, there's been the need at edge for years regarding the Atlanta Falcons. So it's trying to get at what's different. And, like, I'm sure just the fact that it so obviously was a need is a big part of it. I'm with you. I don't think there was some mandate from on high from Arthur Blank or anyone else that said, get me defensive players. But I do think Jeff Ulbrich being here was an influence. Like, I think going out, getting him, bringing him in this building, having his relationship with Raheem Morris, and then having him as a part of this process, I think it helped. If they needed any other nudge over the edge to be like, we got to get guys like this in here to be the type of team we want to be.
Yep.
That's what I asked him. I said, who was the biggest influence? He didn't say anyone was, but he did immediately start talking about Ulbrich.
Yeah, because
I like that.
Remember we had Brick on.
Yeah.
We had him on when he first got here. And his main thing, a lot of stuff we took away from, but one of the things he said, I'm only good as the players that I have.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a good coach.
Yeah, I'm a good coach.
But I need some dudes.
Yeah, I need guys.
Yeah.
And they went out and they got two alphas. And last time I said, they got two ass-whipping dudes. And that's what they do on the football field. They win their one-on-one matchup more than they lose them. Now, the thing about it, they're still young. They're still rookies. It's going to be a learning lesson and all those different things now. But they'll be here today, and they don't leave until training camp. If you're rookie, all right. So they're coming today, and so their thing is you're gonna get them ready for everything. I'm sure as soon as they bricks on having the playbook and all those different things, go meet your teammates and go put on your workout gear and let's go. And there are a lot of steps that lead to the season. This is the first one. Meet the media, and then you probably ain't got to see us again until damn training camp. But it's go time, man. You got to hit the ground running because these players, we know this. We kind of knew that Michael Penix was going to sit out this time last year, right?
Right.
He wasn't going to play.
Right.
These dudes are playing.
They're playing.
Yeah.
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 First snap on defense.
Yeah, these dudes are playing.
Those guys are on the field.
Yeah.
And so is Penix, too, by the way. Not on defense, but you know what I mean. So that's good, too. We did kind of sneak in that Kirk stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I just want to know.
Maybe that'll happen over the next 48 hours.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say no specifics. I could have been talking about the punter.
I did. I said, where's Kirk at? Get him out of here. I didn't say that. But those two draft picks, by the way, they're going to be on with Dukes and Bell at 4 o'clock hour today. So do not go anywhere as your draft coverage continues right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's wrap things up with takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day.
I'm going to use this line from now on. That was a great line. I've never heard it before. He said, people with $1 million will complain if the bills are wrinkly.
Yeah, people complain about anything.
I love it. I love it.
I said it, but I just wanted to say it again. Underboob.
Yeah, he did.
Raheem Morris is going to be able to tap into James Pierce, get to his real potential.
Yeah, I was with you, Bunk. That is what they call underboob.
Side boob also good.
Just
all boob.
Yes.
All
they're good.
They're good. Have a great weekend,
y'all be
everyone.
Good, man. We'll talk to y'all Monday.
Talk to you Monday.